Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird, but helpful.
Just like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good happiness, man.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both. Hey.
Hey, what's up, baby?
Well, it's a little tiring today.
We've only been up for like an hour or so, and you're tired already?
Yeah, man.
Or you haven't woken up yet?
I've just had a hard health week.
Hard health week?
Yeah, man. Had a swollen tongue.
Well, you know.
I fell down and got boo-boos.
You did fall down.
It's been a week, man. It's been a week. And so I'm just a little tie-tie right now, man.
I'm so sorry.
But that's okay, because it doesn't matter, because worse things in the world have happened.
That's right.
And let's talk about one of the worst things in the world, which doesn't sound bad.
What's that?
At first thought, right?
Yeah.
It's the 10-cent beer event.
Where?
It was a long time ago. I'm sorry, babe.
Oh, like was, college? Like in college towns and
no,
stuff?
No, no. It was in Cleveland. It was a baseball game. And
what?
Yeah, it was 50 years ago. And so you couldn't drink beer. Mm. And even for 10 cents. And basically, the Cleveland Indians, they were the Indians then, right? Are they still the Indians?
I don't know. I don't follow baseball
at
all. Oh,
Cleveland. Thoughts about that. But anyways, that's not our point right now. Cleveland baseball team decided to have a 10-cent beer day because they were sucking so bad.
Yeah.
And they needed fans to come to the stadium. So yeah. They're like, we'll entice them by having 10-cent beers. And even 50 years ago, 10-cent beers were a big deal.
Right?
Yeah. And so they're playing the Texas Rangers, I guess. There's so many thoughts that could come from those team names and how this happened.
Well, let's focus on the beer event.
Okay, but the beer event itself, right? The fans in the ninth inning fueled up on 10-cent beers and frustrated, I guess, by the Cleveland team's inability to pull out a win, got a little booze filled, and they rioted, and they stormed the diamond. They like, right?
It says some of them were naked.
Okay, so according to this AP article by Tom Withers, 2 days ago, he posted it, a game that began with a handful of fans tipsy on cheap beer running across the outfield grass, some of them naked, collapsed into chaos. During a scary ninth inning, Texas manager Billy Martin, never one to back down from a fight, turned to his players in the dugout and told them to grab bats.
Wow.
Before leading a charge into the municipal stadium field and into mayhem. Looking back to June 4th, 1974, it's hard to imagine that anyone thought it would be a good idea to sell beers for just a dime, but it was a different world then. Maybe not innocent, but certainly naive.
Read that last paragraph, because that's funny.
All right, he also wrote, by the time the Rangers escaped to their clubhouse with a win via forfeit, after surviving hundreds of fans storming the field as the Cleveland team were rallying, it became apparent that this was a big mistake. Can you imagine?
Yeah, yeah. Cheap beer night's always a big mistake.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And apparently, like, there was a lot of tension between the teams even before Withers, right? It's the first keg was tapped or the 10-ounce beer poured because they had fought in Texas. And at the Texas game, the Rangers fan threw debris. I don't know what kind of debris at the Cleveland players. Can you imagine?
That was back when sports were good, dude.
Yeah.
The good old days.
Jeez. So then the manager was like, I'm sorry, the Cleveland manager, no, the Texas Ranger manager, Billy Martin, he was asked before the Cleveland game, are you worried about, like, you know, retribution in Cleveland for your players? And he said, they don't have enough fans there to worry about.
That was before?
Yeah, and so then the Cleveland people got a little cranky.
They probably all showed up.
Yeah, 10-cent beer retribution. I mean,
I know.
That's America, man. That's like America in a nutshell.
Yeah, it is, actually.
Yeah, man. So can you imagine? Can you imagine all of that? Like, that's a big deal thing, right?
Yeah. Sounds like it's pretty cool. I mean, it's not cool, but...
Yeah, so basically, Withers writes, if you want to hear the real setup for the actual fight, right?
Yeah.
After trailing 5-3, he says, the Indians scored twice to tie it and had runners on when a fan scaled the outfield wall, sprinted toward Rangers right fielder Jeff Burrows, and tried to steal his hat. Like, right at the ball cap?
Yeah.
Quote, in the dugout, Martin screamed for his players to follow him. Hargrove headed to the right to assist Burrows, who at that point had been surrounded. The Indians burst from their dugout to help the Rangers. Some great big guy, drunk guy, took Jeff's hat, and I was one of the first ones to get there, Hargrove said. I tackled him and knocked him down, and it took like 3 cops to handcuff him. Thank goodness he was on the ground. The rest is something of a hazy blur, Withers writes. I remember nothing about the game other than in that inning, we were in trouble. Hargrove said. They had runners on, and it looked like they were getting ready to score and go ahead, and then all of a sudden, all hell.
I know, the dude totally screwed up. They might have been able to win that night.
Yeah, and Cleveland's pitcher actually got hurt because a chair was thrown from the stands and it hit his head.
Oh, Jesus.
Which kind of split open.
Ouch.
But he's okay.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It says they had another beer night a month later.
Well, they probably weren't playing the Rangers that time, man. I don't know. They're probably like, well, we got people here.
That's right. We're making money off of hot dogs.
Let's
we'll
go.
We'll give away the beer.
There you go.
Eat more hot dogs.
Commerce. So, now that we've talked about 10-cent beer night and fighting in America.
All the fun's over.
Fighting commerce and beer.
Fighting commerce and beer. Welcome to America.
That should have been the podcast title.
That's what it says at the base of the Last Statue of Liberty.
No. No. Anyways, I really want to change the name of the podcast. No. I'm going to have to change it.
To Fighting Commerce and Beer?
Yeah.
Just make sure you use commas, though, so we're not...
Fighting.
We're not fighting commerce.
And... and beer. Welcome to America.
Yeah.
But that's not what our podcast is really about. But that's okay. So that was our fun part of the podcast. Now we talk about writing.
Is it how to frame stories?
Yes, it is.
Oh, maybe you should put that in how to.
Welcome to America and how to frame stories.
That's perfect.
All right. So we have a title now, and you all got to witness that.
How titles are created.
How titles are created in this podcast. So on last week's podcast and the one before that and in a post and all the links are in our podcast notes, Shawnee and I talked a bit about plot structures and narrative structures and how here in the U.S. we usually think of these things as pretty linear and in a 3-act framework, right?
Oh, yeah.
What's 3-act, babe?
Beginning, middle, and end.
Good job, Bubba. And
it's a pyramid?
Yeah, it's like a triangle, allegedly, with rising stakes and drama as you go along. But that's not the only way to write. So, as you know, Shawnee and I are products of this culture, right? Of baseball and 10-cent beer and commerce. But, like, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to focus on other shapes and forms of storytelling, right?
That's right.
But again, we are not experts. We're just trying to help get you to think about these other ways just so you know them and have resources so you can get more information, right?
You don't consider you're a writing expert, babe.
I'm not a writing expert on other cultures' styles of writing. I'm just this culture, you know? Like,
I know what you're saying.
So, like, I don't want to claim anything like that. Like, so
I'm more of a 10-cent beer expert than, like, a 10-cent sake night expert.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Which is good, because I don't like sake.
Oh, jeez, I'm grow. Jeez, I'm grow. All right, so another kind of storytelling is Middle Eastern, and it's called the frame story in our language. So it's really cool. Basically, as the novel Smithy explains, do you want to say that?
Sure, I do.
Okay.
Many types of stories, characters, and symbols are woven together into a larger tale. 1001 Nights is the most famous example of this. In this story, Shahrazad tells story after story to the Sultan in order to keep him from killing her. Her stories include a variety of complex narratives, different characters, conflicts, genres, and morals. There are even frame stories within the larger frame story.
So Novel Smithy explains that the characteristics of Middle Eastern storytelling are there's an outer frame story, and it ties multiple stories together. There's a lot of characters, a lot of narratives, and it can be in a variety of genres and fantasy and high action, right?
Yep.
And that's really cool, and it's really influenced by the Quran.
Oh.
Which is also very cool.
And is that how the Quran's written in that style?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh.
So, Gulf News writes,
one of the most revered traditions of oral storytelling is the Hakawadi. As intricate and complex as a weaving pattern, this motif-rich narrative style darts in and out of stories, offering unending drama where the storyteller begins one tale, deftly leaves it midway to pick up another, and then has a third story emerging from a subplot of the first, and so on. All this is done using the tools of allegory, folklore, satire, music, and a visual spectacle of grand sweeping gestures and facial expressions to finally create an enthralling experience for his listeners.
And that's really cool, right? That's like an oral storytelling method.
That's a master. Anybody that can do that orally
is
a master.
It's really, really cool.
Or just old. A lot of old people seem to have that skill. They're like, let me tell you this one time.
They kind of do.
They get like 3/4 of the way through it, and then they kind of go back to the beginning and take a whole other rabbit trail off of that beginning.
Our accountant is like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, which is weird to say.
And then you never really finish the first story, I guess. No. Although he's good at coming back.
Yeah, he always comes back. He's a really good storyteller. And he does the voices, too, and the expressions.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, there's, like, some, like, when you think about frame stories in a slightly more simplistic, sometimes, way of thinking, like, design, like, Forrest Gump is a perfect example of a frame story, because there's a story within a story, but it's not necessarily a story within a story within a story within a story. But there, it like Forrest is sitting on the
bench, park bench,
yeah, and telling his stories.
Mm-hmm.
In novels, things like The Notebook by Nicholas Sparks, where you have a story and then a frame of the story because it's a couple in a nursing home or assisted living place, right?
Yeah.
And then within that, you have the letters or the pieces of the notebook. I can't remember that.
I never
book.
Watched it or read it.
I don't think you'd like it. No offense to Nicholas Sparks. And just not Shawnee's thing. And within it, the letters or the stories tell the story of this couple's life. But in both of those, right, those frames is very focused on one character, you know, it's Forrest Gump, or it's the couple in the notebook. Whereas in this, like, in this kind of structure, it can be a lot different from that. It can be thematically linked. It doesn't have to be
character.
The same character focus throughout the entire novel or throughout the entire story, the way that those are. Does that make sense? Makes so it could be a story. Like, the frame could be Shawnee, but then one of the stories could be Carrie, but then one of the stories could be Pokey the puppy. Mm-hmm. But as there's like some sort of layering of complexity and that make it
fit into one bed together right now.
Thematically, yes, because you could say it could be about the interconnectedness of human and puppy experience.
Yes.
Yeah, man. It's pretty cool, though, right?
It's real cool. I like it. Like, it takes a certain amount of...
It's a lot of smarts.
Talent.
Yeah.
You know, it's got... You gotta have that brain. It's almost like an artistic... You know, authoring is a form of art, but, you know, some people can... Like, a painter can see something in their brain.
Yeah.
Before they start painting. I don't really have that skill.
Some can. Some don't.
Some just throw paint on the canvas and see what comes up. That's me.
That's me, dude.
I throw it by the bucketful.
And the canvas is the side of the house.
That's right. Dog tip for life, baby.
You woke up everyone in the house, man.
I tried not to.
You totally did.
That's the problem with doing it first thing in the morning.
Okay, so.
So Pokey's like, hey, dude.
He's like, hey, dude, let me
write
that down.
I live my style and my life in the frame story style way.
Really?
She did.
And how's that?
Because she's like, I'm like that Forrest Gumpy dude. Because it always comes back to me. But I'll just be doing something. I don't know. Running around. Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden, I'll see a cat. And I'll change my storyline and start chasing the cat. And then the cat will ditch me.
Oh my God.
And I'll see Mama by the pantry. And then I'll change my storyline and go beg for a treat. But it's always about me.
Oh my God.
Multiple stories.
So.
In any one brain thought. Our dog's a little crazy.
Oh.
Not crazy, like in mental health way. She's just crazy, like, I don't know. She's full of energy. Any 2-year-old.
She's a lot. She is not a straight line of a dog.
No, right. God, like, she's not. Yeah. If she's not sleeping, she's not a straight line.
Even when she's asleep, she's curled up.
Unless she's in our bed.
And then she's all spread out.
Then she's either spread out or she's straight in between us, like she's a... Freaking human.
She's very cuddly. Don't look at me like that.
Well, he's got two sides in the bed. One side's cuddly, that's her back. The other side's like sleeping with the porcupine. If you get the paw side, you're screwed.
You're in trouble.
If you get the back side,
it's all cozy.
You're warm and soft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
This is the same with Carrie.
Oh!
All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, you know?
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude No. Just like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast.
Loving the Strange.
Which we stream live.
On Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah, we can.